This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
WPHT, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
So what did Fauci know and when did he know it? We're going to find that out. Also, too, what if diversity trainings are actually doing more harm than good? And yes, in Connecticut, something very, very wacky and stupid. Connecticut law would axe fitness requirements for female firefighters. What could possibly go wrong? Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. Every day, of course, 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Mike Opelka, my buddy. Let me ask you for. I want to ask you a question. Thanks for joining me. Quick question for you. Ready?
Yes, sir. I'm ready. All welcome. Right. Welcome to me. Thank you.
No, welcome to you. Welcome. Yeah. Thanks for being here. Appreciate it. Welcome to the show. Madison Square Garden had a Jumbotron. And on the Jumbotron, they had a picture of Michael Imperioli. And they referred to him as Michael Imperioli, actor, the White Lotus. Now, do you agree that that is a crime against humanity?
Yeah. I would say not only for his obvious fame from The Sopranos, but really the White Lotus? That's where you're, well, let's check the follow the money. Who owns the garden and what are they tied to in terms of streaming channels?
Oh, right. Who does own the garden? I don't even know.
James Dolan is the guy who's the chairman of, Comcast, Xfinity,
yep.
And do they own any streaming services, and is there a contractual obligation to promote content?
Yes, to promote The White Lotus, which is streaming on HBO Max.
So I would always follow the money, because that's all, whenever anybody says, study says, I go to the bottom of the page and see who funded the study.
Oh, always. Got to do that. Because Michael Imperioli will always be Christopher Moltisanti on The Sopranos, period. Period.
Okay. You're not going to get an argument on me.
All right, fine.
I'm going to say something that's going to make you really mad.
Go ahead.
I never watched an episode of The Sopranos.
All right. Great having you on the show, Michael Opelka. Tune in tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. You're missing out on, honestly, that show was groundbreaking in the sense that every show you watch now, The Sopranos gave it life.
Yeah, well, I agree. But I also worked side by side for a decade, alongside a guy named Goomba Johnny.
My Uncle Johnny, huh?
And the program director was Frankie Blue Eyes. His name was Frankie Macchiaroli. And I said, what you doing on Father's Day? He said, my dad's away. So, I lived it. I didn't need to see it.
I understand. But I'm telling you, I'm rewatching it now. I'm almost done. I'm on season 6B, and I love rewatching it. And I would get together with my cousins. Every Sunday, we would make pasta and watch The Sopranos. It was a tradition.
I like that. See, you might actually get me to go back and watch it as a nostalgic thing. You probably would have dug the opportunity we had. We played a softball game against the cast of The Sopranos in New York City.
Wow.
And Kathy Narducci and Vinnie Pastore, who's just the greatest guy in the world. And they were all wonderful people. I just never watched the show because, again, I was living it with these Goombas everywhere you turned.
Listen, my grandfather was in the sanitation business, all right? I'm going to leave it at that. Let me turn our attention to why you're here, which is you sent me a text during my rant about Fauci, and you pointed out that Jim Jordan laid out what Fauci knows and when, and you sent me the audio, and I just said, why don't you just come on and play it for us and talk about it? So what do we got here?
Well, Jordan did this over a year and a half ago. That's the amazing thing about this. In about 10 days... we're going to have the third anniversary of Fauci getting official notice that the virus was man-made. In just 10 days, we're going to have a cake a pangolin cake with three candles on it, and it'll have a gooey bat juice inside, or bat frosting, maybe.
Yeah, buttercream bat is my new, like, buttercream, I guess would be a good way to do it for the cake. Delicious.
Sure, but the bakery from the wet market has been closed, and they bulldozed it, actually, so it's not even there. But so Jordan,
you know why, Opelka? They wouldn't make a gay pangolin cake for a wedding.
Oh, well played. It's like a chop fight in here. And you had an unfair warm-up with Jimmy. That's not fair. You've been hitting the practice balls with Fela.
I just love Fridays.
Here's what happened. The whole Fauci thing really ticked off Jordan, and he was subpoenaing files from Fauci and asked him to testify in front of a committee. So a year and 6 months ago, in August of 2021, this happened. And Jim Jordan had gotten some of the emails, invited Fauci. Fauci was too busy because he had a guest appearance on MSNBC, of course, where I'm sure they were giving him some award. And he just ripped it. Let me open up with the very beginning of it, where he sets up what happened on January 31st. Of 2020.
Friday, January 31st, 2020, at 10:32 p.m., Dr. Fauci gets an email from Christian Anderson. Christian Anderson's a British researcher who's received numerous grants from NIH. Two really important sentences are in that email. Two sentences that get Dr. Fauci's attention. The first is this: the unusual features of the virus make up a really small part of the genome. So one has to look really closely at all the sequences to see that some of the features look engineered. Again, this is January 31st, 2020. Second sentence: Eddie, Bob, Mike, and myself all find the genome inconsistent with expectations from evolutionary theory. Email arrives 10:32 to Dr. Fauci on January 31st, 2020.
January 31st, after 10 o'clock. Fauci is how old? 182? He's going to bed. You know this. He gets this email and he starts doing a Ralph Cramden. Hamana, 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 hamana.
Excellent reference. Norton!
And he cannot help himself. So what happens next? Remember, 10:30, January 31st, 2020.
2 hours later. 2 hours later, at 12:29 in the morning, Dr. Fauci sends an email to his top deputy, Mr. Hugh Auchincloss. Guy has worked for Fauci for 15 years, part of his inner circle. Sends it. Subject line says important in all capital letters. He attaches a paper on gain of function research written by.
Hold on.
Hang
now,
on.
Of course, Zuckerberg has to hit me with an ad.
Of course.
So you're going to have to. Zuckerberg, who, by the way, is only the second most irritating person on the planet.
Well,
Well,
while you're waiting for that ad to play, I just
want
to.
It's done.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Here we go. Back to Fauci sending his deputy, his 15-year deputy, a story on gain of function research.
Function research written by Dr. Barrick and Dr. Shi. Dr. Shi, of course, is the so-called bat lady, bat woman, the lady who does research in the Wuhan, China lab. This email, Dr. Fauci says, again, to his top deputy, it is essential that we speak this AM. Keep your cell phone on. Read this paper. You will have tasks to do today that must be done. Notice the intensity. Notice the focus. I mean, this is the house is on fire email here.
So if Fauci were in France, they'd fine him for contacting employees after midnight, number one. But you got to remember, again, you got a guy who's a 80-year-old dude who's now sending emails after midnight, 2 hours after he got an email saying, hey, bud, this virus from China, yeah, it's man-made. We got a problem here.
Right, right, right.
So he gets his deputy on the phone 2 hours or on the email 2 hours later, says, keep your phone on. There's a whole lot of stuff we got to do. And then Fauci starts creating the obfuscation, the deflection, the distraction.
Now, 2 hours after that, at 2:48 in the morning, Dr. Fauci's busy this morning.
He's usually up at 2:48 to pee because he's so old.
Well, come on. I mean, you know.
Who isn't, right?
Right. Let's okay. He who has not cast the first kidney stone.
Well done.
Thank you.
Here we go.
12:29, that email he sent to Dr. Auchincloss, his top deputy, 2 hours later at 2:48 in the morning, he sends another email, this one to Robert Kadlec, assistant HHS secretary, Trump appointee, not part of his inner circle, and he attaches a different article to this email, one that says the virus came from an animal that downplays any lab leak theory. Now, again, notice the tone of this one. Bob, this just came out today. Gives a balanced view. Best, Tony. I mean, totally different from the previous. This is one like, oh, if you get a chance, read this. Gives a balanced view. So the tone is different, but also that sentence, gives a balanced view, it's not true either. That's just not accurate. This article downplays, as I said, the lab leak theory, emphasizes evolutionary cause to the virus.
So you see what's happening here. Fauci has gotten the word. He's awakened his troops, and now he is leading the deflection. But he's so panicked, he can't stop.
What happens next? What happens next? Later that same morning, at 11:47 a.m., Dr. Fauci's deputy gets back to him. I just want to read you this whole email. The paper you sent me, the one he sent him on that was written by the virologist from Wuhan, China, and Dr. Barrick, the paper you sent me says the experiments were performed before the gain-of-function pause but have since been reviewed and approved by NIH. Not sure what that means, since Emily, someone else who works for Dr. Fauci, is sure that no coronavirus work has gone through the P3 framework, which, of course, is the oversight body that's supposed to approve any grant dollars going for gain-of-function research. No coronavirus work has gone through the P3 framework. Final sentence. She will try to determine if we have any distant ties to this work abroad. She will try to determine if our fingerprints are on any of this.
So not only is it man-made, the virus that they're seeing, but there's a concern that because all of the grants they gave out didn't go through the full vetting and protocol, that they could be connected to it.
Yeah, of course. And then they're realizing right now that the dots connect from their grants right to the Wuhan lab in China. And this is, again, Mike Opelka, just remind us the timeline in this. When are we talking about right now?
Well, this happened, the conversation, the email exchanges happened starting on January 31st of 2020, three years ago. And this is a
3 years ago tomorrow.
Yeah, well, 3 years ago next week, actually, 31st.
Oh, 30, I just said 21st, 31st, gotcha.
Yeah, 31st. And this is all within the period of like 12 hours that this has happened. And now Fauci, who probably didn't sleep that night, is getting these bounce backs from emails that he sent out. And it's about to get even more interesting. And I think more nefarious, if that's even possible.
All these emails happen in 13 hours. So 13 hours after Dr. Fauci gets the initial email from Christian Anderson saying, looks like this virus is engineered, not consistent with evolutionary theory, Dr. Fauci knows some important facts. First, Dr. Fauci knows there's a lethal virus on the loose that started in Wuhan, China. Second, he knows the American taxpayers have funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan, China. Third, he knows that the research grant didn't go through the required oversight board. Fourth, he knows the virus, quote, looks engineered and, quote, not consistent with evolutionary theory. And finally, fifth, Dr. Fauci knows he may have ties to this work in China. His fingerprints, in fact, may be on this.
So what do you think happens next, Rich? Fauci just says, no big deal. We'll just go on, right?
Yeah, no big deal. We'll just, yeah, exactly. I'm just trying to think, putting myself in his mindset, Michael Pelka, at this point, and got to be sweating bullets big time as this virus is out. And then to so immediately dismiss the lab leak theory, clearly for that reason. I mean, this is proving everything here.
Well, you know, so you're right. But Fauci, I'm going to put this in the Sopranos term. Fauci calls a meeting of the family because they have to discuss. They got a problem here. Check this out.
So what does Dr. Fauci do next? After he says, oh, whatever, what does he do next? He organizes a conference call for later that same day. I mean, this is the busiest 24 hours I think I've ever seen. He organizes a conference call, 12 people on the call. Dr. Fauci and 11 virologists from around the world. Virologists who've gotten millions of American tax dollars over the past several years. Now look at this list. Here's the list of people. There's only two Americans on the list, Tony Fauci and one other. Most of them are from around the world, as I said.
Oh, they're going to hit me again with a commercial, but...
That's okay. Michael Pelk is with me, of course, Stunt Brain himself, host of the Saturday night show here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD tomorrow night at 7, and then Jimmy Fallon after that, the replay of his show at 10 p.m. right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Always great to have you on the show.
Well, here, thank you. I appreciate it.
And by the way, are you playing all this audio through your Rodecaster Pro?
It's actually through an Apple laptop, just my...
It sounds great.
Yeah, it is. Well, I got all kinds of little... I don't know what all these wires do, but let's continue.
See, Opelka fills in for hosts all across the country. Like, who are you filling in for next week, for example?
Chris Plant, who's in 125 stations around the country. He's a good dude. An old friend, too, based out of D.C.
Good.
He's a good dude. So Fauci has organized a conference call at this point, and the only two Americans on it are Fauci and his deputy. And Jordan explains who's not on it.
On the call. Who's not on the list? Is Dr. Cadlick on the list? The guy he sent the email to at 3 in the morning? Is Dr. Redfield the head of CDC? Dr. Girard, who's with us today, assistant secretary at HHS at the time? Dr. Birx, the lady who's soon to be COVID response coordinator? In fact, there's no one from the government on the call except Tony Fauci. Tony Fauci and 11 other individuals who got a bunch of American tax dollars over the years. What happened on the conference call?
Yeah.
The short answer is we don't know. We don't know what they talked about. I mean, I think we got a good idea. We don't know for sure. But we do know what happened 4 days later.
Now, this is where you picked up the story. But the interesting thing is they asked for the readout, the transcript of the conference call. And it's one of those pages with all the black lines through stuff saying this is secret. So they totally sent him completely redacted stuff. But now it picks up with the story that's just getting covered today. And remember, this is 18 months old. If this were a child, it'd be walking around saying curse words after mommy and daddy said them. You know, this is a story that deserved real attention when Jordan held this hearing. But people were looking the other way. But here's an update, because there's one more really disturbing part of this.
4 days later, February 4th, 2020, Christian Anderson, the guy who started it all, who said the virus looks engineered, Christian Anderson said this 4 days later. The crackpot theories going around at the moment relate to this virus being somehow engineered. That is demonstrably false. Close quote. What? In 4 days, this guy went from this looks engineered to now that's demonstrably false. 4 days, he went from this isn't consistent with evolutionary theory. Now we know it's totally evolutionary. But it gets even better.
So do you think the conference call discussed how they were all going to say this is not a man-made?
Absolutely, Mike. That's why they had the conference call, because they all wanted to be on the same page and have nobody disagree with this so they could all cover their tracks and they could all pretend like this never happened. And if they all said the same thing, they're able to go, well, it's science. They all agree. All these scientists agree, so then it must not be the lab leak.
Right, Rich. But science requires evidence and papers being written, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So what do you think happens next?
It gets even better. Mr. Anderson and three of the other people on this call write an article a few weeks later that says COVID is not a laboratory construct. And while they're writing that article, there's an email from March 6th where Mr. Anderson offers to let Dr. Fauci edit the article before it's published. And here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. When the article is published, Dr. Fauci cites it at a White House press conference when he is asked by a reporter about the origin of the virus. Cites the very article he put in motion on the conference call and he was allowed to edit. At the White House, where he's supposed to be giving the American people the truth, he references an article that he manufactured.
Sorry. That was my mistake.
Is this not? That's basically where this press car with this hearing ends. Because Fauci wouldn't show up. But you cannot connect the dots any better than this guy has done.
Yeah, it's great. And now that these emails are all coming out after the FOIA battle in court, we can prove all of it. Now, this is, and I'll conclude by this, Mike, and thanks for your time tonight. I really, really hope the Republicans hold this guy accountable. This is a massive, massive cover-up here. They knew this thing came from a lab, and they lied, and they covered it up to protect themselves because they were connected to this. How many millions of lives could we have saved, maybe? I don't know. Maybe none. But the truth was purposely buried here because Fauci's money paid for this virus.
Yeah. And he was very worried because all of those labs, not just Wuhan, but the labs in Ukraine, the labs around the world, the black labs, and not dogs. I'm talking about the dark labs that we were funding were doing God knows what. And this just happened to leak out because somebody was sloppy.
Yeah,
it's so astounding.
I don't buy that. But you know, we can't rule out anything at this point since they won't be honest with us. Always a pleasure, my friend. We'll tune in tomorrow night, of course, at 7 p.m. Michael Pelka, stunt brain himself. Have a good night, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. God bless.
All right. God bless you, too. Listen, I want to tell you about Emmons Roofing and Siding. For years, you've heard me talk about my friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding. They are the best in the business when it comes to roofing, siding, windows, and doors for your home or commercial property. Maybe you have a place at the shore. Winter weather is brutal on shore properties. We'll have Emmons check out your shore property. Emmons also has a special offer for all of my listeners. An inflation relief discount of 10% off roofing, siding, and Anderson Window Replacement. And because Stephanie and Matt know the times are tough, they are continuing to offer all of my listeners 12 months same as cash financing. That's 12 months to pay for these repairs, a new roof, roof repair, siding, or windows. So give Emmons a call today for a free estimate at 856-885-6677. 856-885-6677. Or visit emmonsroofing.com and take advantage of their inflation relief discount and 12 months same as cash financing. Emmons is the company that I use and trust, and they should be your company too. These are the guys who did my roof and my windows and my doors, so you can trust them. EmmonsRoofing.com.